Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What's up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have joined us. Thank you for joining us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Thank you once again for joining us. If you've been here before, but if you haven't, we are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. One track at a time. I'm your co-host, Mark Kamire. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, what's good?
I tell you, not the weather. It was minus 49 with the wind chill in Saskatchewan this morning. So skin freezes within minutes in that type of weather. But it's starting to warm up. And I think largely because we got a couple of great guests on here tonight. We're about to talk some Van Halen.
I was going to let the weather slide. I was just giving you free rein, but you brought it up. So while you're mentioning it, yeah, it's warm down here too and rainy, which you know what that means. We're in for a new December season of tornadoes down south. Yay. But the good news is all those trees can't be knocked down because they're already gone. They're gone. There's no more trees to fall on any more vehicles. That time has passed. So I guess bring it on, strange weather. December, am I right? But as you mentioned, we have guests. We are not alone today. What can you tell me? What can you tell the audience just briefly without revealing who they are? What can you tell me about our guests tonight?
Well, I can tell you that they're already among my favorite guests. We were bonding before you even hopped on the call, Mark, about a shared love of ZZ Top. And I'm trying to talk these guys into maybe branching out and doing a ZZ Top podcast. But if you read the Van Halen news desk, and by God, everybody should every single day, they did an article not that long ago about a new Sammy Hagar podcast. And we thought, well, that's just perfect. We got to get these guys on the show, spin the wheel, rock, and see if we can get a Sammy tune to talk about. So without further ado, I will turn it over to Mark Kamire to introduce our guests.
From the All Sammy Show, actually, it's called the Bogus Otis Show. Brent and Darren joins us on the podcast. Brent, Darren, welcome. How's it going, guys?
Thanks for having us. It's an awesome pleasure to be here. We're big fans of you guys, and any chance we get to talk about the mighty VH, we are all in.
Hell yeah. Love the show. Glad to be here.
Specifically Sammy eccentric, Sammy centered rather Van Halen. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, we try and, keep the core focus on, the Red Rocker, but as Darren coined the title of the show, you know, we're kind of that 9 degrees of Sammy. So all the little tentacles that touch him all around, it's all fair game and it's all good.
That's a great answer. Great. Great having you guys here. Cannot wait to see what the wheel has in store for us, because the wheel is fickle. And as you can see in front of you, the listeners can't see it, but you can see it. The wheel is real. You can confirm that?
The wheel is real. I'm not going to lie. I'm a bit nervous. I'm a little bit nervous.
And there's some the songs that are still left. There's killer stuff left, right? It's awesome.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at what it's just sitting on right now, and I'm really upset because I really want to do that song.
That's a Dave tune. We don't want a Dave tune tonight. But before we get any further, we better ask Brent what he's drinking tonight.
I love that you asked that question, and the fact that you picked up that's kind of the opening line with our show. I'm usually posing that to Darren, and I'm constantly feeding Darren with bottles of Sammy's Beach Bar rum because he's run out of his and I have a stash. So I think we'll just go tonight. It's a little pepper up, or little Dr. Pepper, little Sammy's Beach Bar rum, a little bit of ice, and nice and fresh.
So for those Canadian listeners, I won't share Brent's address because we can't get it here, in, at least on Ontario in Canada.
We'll share the love. Corey, what are you drinking tonight?
Oh, I'm drinking my usual whiskey and Coke Zero. I'm pretty boring that way. Darren, what do you got going?
Well, I don't have a Sammy branded item, but it was, I say was because it's empty, but it was a Mill Valley red wine. I can't remember the kind, but it's close enough, right?
Sure.
Look at you all fancy tonight with the red wine. Whew.
No more rum, right? What are you going to do?
You know what? Speaking of alcohol, I have a little conundrum about this weekend. Maybe you guys can help me. I have an opportunity on Sunday to go meet Gene Simmons. He is actually brewing his own vodka, and he's doing a signing, and he's signing bottles of his own vodka in Regina on Sunday. And I'm kind of on the fence whether or not I should go. Let's just take a poll of the panel. Should I go to Regina and meet Gene Simmons and get some vodka? Start with Mark.
Well, as the song says, experience Regina. But I don't know how well you're going to experience a Gene Simmons branded vodka. I might be more leaning on the side of just go with the Skull vodka. Dan Aykroyd, he's a stand up fella. I don't know, but I don't know. Do you really want to wait in what is probably a ridiculously long line just to taste some vodka that you may or may not really enjoy? That's the real question for you, Corey.
That's kind of why I'm on the fence. Darren, what do you think?
Well, I have met him before in producing TV shows. He did a voice in the mid-90s where he was kind of the star of it. He produced it. And are you bringing your wife along? Were you thinking of bringing your wife?
No, she's working that night, so it's pretty much just going to be maybe one of my kids.
You might want to, because he always seems to gravitate to those with wives, because then he always wants to talk to them first. But that could be your ticket to the front of the line, right?
There you go. That's a good idea. Yes,
I would say go. Why not, man? Come on, these guys aren't getting any younger, right?
There you go. Brent, what about you?
Yeah, listen, it doesn't get any more iconic than Gene. And I think with a caveat, if there is a long line that you have to wait in, if they're coming down said line handing out shots of said vodka, then it's probably worth the wait.
Good call. Good call.
You know what?
Just shout that you discovered Van Halen and he'll come to you.
You should. If you do go, just wear your "And the Podcast Will Rock" t-shirt, and I'm sure it'll get him asking some questions.
Yes, sir. We'll do that for sure. So we got two votes for sure. So yeah, I think I'll be heading the highway this weekend to go meet Gene and drink some Gene Simmons money bag vodka. Why not?
Let's hope the wait is indeed worth it. It's vodka. You can't screw it up too hard, can you? I really don't know. I'm not an expert in making vodka. I'm only an expert in telling you my opinion over a band that I really like. See what I did there, Corey?
I did. Yep, I did. Now, in the interest of keeping things going, Mark, maybe we should go right to the poll from last week, and it's from a Sammy tune. So we'll get these guys' opinion on this track as well. But last week we covered "Source of Infection" from OU812. The vote pretty definitive again: 72.8%. "What Dreams Are Made Of," 27.2%. "This Dream Is Over." I thought that might be a little bit closer based on some of the comments we were getting, but. At 81 votes, most of the people think it's "What Dreams Are Made Of." Brent, if you're voting in that poll for "Source of Infection," how would you vote?
I'm a thumbs up there for sure. I mean, source of infection, killer lick. And again, it's Sammy at his absolute screaming vocal best in on that tune. So yeah, I'm a part of that 72% full show.
Awesome. Darren?
I love it. I feel like it's the Hoffer teacher of the Van Hagar years.
Oh, nice.
Correct. Yeah. That is the correct answer.
And of course, Mark and I were both thumbs up on that one as well.
Oh yeah, the song rips. But I'm curious as to see what everyone else is saying. Would you please, Corey, tell us the commentary on the poll?
All right, let's start with Matt, who says one song that should have made it onto the set list along with Me Wise Magic. No argument there, except and Tom pointed out, I can see why it's not though. Those octave leaps can be rough, and Sammy gets high on that chorus, so. Maybe that's why they didn't really perform that one live.
That's a good point.
Yep. Good buddy George from the Judas Priest cast says, this is most definitely a What Dreams Are Made Of. Source of Infection is a great blast of old school Van Halen energy. The fast songs are my jam. So there's another thumbs up from George.
Thank you, George.
C. Barnett says, very few Van Halen songs are This Dream Is Over, mostly because it's hard to be at a complete loss with Ed, Al, and Mike. Even Sammy's weak lyrics and a weaker production do not doom it completely.
Ooh.
Ouch.
And I'm sure we'll probably get into it at some point, but it's do not let me forget to talk to Brent and Darren about how they feel about Sammy lyrics, as it were, and on the whole.
A running theme in the comments here. Here's one from the Maiden A to Z podcast. One of our brothers from the Deep Dive Podcast Network. They said, nah, it didn't work for me. This was a mess. And that bass thin and super saturated 1988 mix didn't help it either. Sorry, boys, but the dream is over on this one. However, I did enjoy having my main man, Greg, back on. And compared to how many say I, it was a decent tune. So that was from John from the Maiden A to Z podcast. Not a fan of the track, but Greg was actually. He voted thumbs up for it with us on that one as well.
That surprises me a little bit that John went no, but I get it, I guess.
Yep. The Deep Purple Yule cast, see what I did there? They said, enjoyed this one. Solid album track for me. So thanks for that comment there, boys. Robert Cato says, another great episode for one. As I've stated before, I love all of Van Halen. CLSY. Can't Stop Loving You. That was the song that we used the mulligan on there, Mark. Would have been fine by me, but I respect the opinion of others to use the mulligan. Source of Infection is such a jam. The band is one fire, and the background harmonies are amazing. And it was kind of funny. We were talking about the after the show. Mark is very positive to Can't Stop Loving You. Greg was very, very negative to Can't Stop Loving You. I was kind of in the middle. So it was kind of a battle to see which way I was going to go on that one. So when that one does come up, you'll have to stay tuned because we'll talk about it then. Our old buddy, Old Handsaw, says, I'm sure the song will be great when someone finishes writing lyrics for it.
Whoa.
I mean, look, I'm not going to fight you on the fact that the lyrics are what they are and we said our piece. And then also I'm not going to fight you on the fact because Old Handsaw said it, and damn it, we love Old Handsaw. So that's exactly the perfect kind of thing he would say. We appreciate you. Take a
drink. That's right. All right. Trockman 5150 says, absolutely What Dreams Are Made Of. A forgotten track for sure. All killer and no filler on this one. Perfect all the way through. Insane guitars, drums, harmonies, and vocals. And as we go back and forth on silly lyrics, Sammy's chatter fits perfect on this track. So there you go. There's somebody who actually liked the lyrics on Source of Infection. So
thank you.
Josh.
Man, what do you want, right?
Right. Yeah. Come on.
Sam even said, we're just fucking around and having fun. So nothing wrong with that. Josh says, production was thin, lyrics phoned in, didn't matter, still had all the Van Halen swing, charisma, and swagger. So
yeah, we don't have the time to dissect the lyrics of every song and say which ones are phoned in and which aren't. That would be a completely separate thing, I think. And we just, you know, Corey and I can only do so much per episode.
I tell you what, the Sammy Hagar boy is going to love this one from Greg Zito. I support Mark's decision to use a mulligan for Greg. He deserved it after How Many Say I. I wish Sammy had taken a mulligan on those lyrics for what is an otherwise great track. Eddie Van Halen saves the song and makes it What Dreams Are Made Of.
Again, I'm not going to argue.
I get the feeling Darren and Brett might have some comments. Maybe let's go to them and see what they have to say about the lyrics of Source of Infection.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Listen, a running theme for us is poor Sammy is constantly getting panned for his lyrics by, you know, the Roth fans. And in some cases, rightly so. You know, we can run down these lyrics and, you know, I probably could have written them myself is the honest truth. But at the end of the day, it's still about the delivery and the power. And to me, you know, Sammy could be singing Mary Had a Little Lamb, but he sings it the way he sings it. And it's always a winner. I don't know.
I'm with him, man. Like I said before, it was 1988. What are you expecting? You know, I just love it because they were having a blast and having fun. And I feel like they put the FU in fun, and that's what I liked about that era. They were having a blast playing that music. So really, you know, I come for Eddie, stay for Sammy. The lyrics, if they're great, that's a bonus. If they're mediocre, whatever. I'm good.
There you go. As long as the music fits.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys know this, but there's some real Dave diehards who hate everything Sammy ever did. And it's true. I know it's shocking.
That's why Darren and Brent are our real names.
But Bruins fan 71, he's going to address those 27% who voted against this song. And he said, 27% of you want Dave to sit on your lap with his chaps on and no underwear. So basically saying, fuck you. Sammy had some good stuff with Van Halen, too.
Very eloquently put, Bruins fan. Appreciate it.
Yes. Sean Geek from the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast said, I like a lot on OU812, mostly because of history with the album. It is my Van Hagar album, and I really like the faster Halen songs like this one. I can't separate my experience with this on from the quality, though. I can only upvote it. So there you go. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ray says, I'm admittedly more of a Dave guy. I've never heard this song. Hearing the song also made me realize that Sammy somehow sang on Hot for Teacher. Terrible lyrics, great guitar, vocals, and drums. It's Hot for Teacher with a loud yet small smattering of Sammy up front. So there's another Hot for Teacher comparison from Ray.
It's the opening, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's the opening. It's the fact that it keeps driving. It's just like a drive of a song. Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities there.
It's like a super juiced up boogie, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. False Premise says instrumentation 9 out of 10, lyrics 1 out of 10. The closest comparison for this song in the Dave era is Sinner Swing. That one has some real DLR street poetry on it.
street poetry. You know, yeah. This is interesting. I never really put Sinner Swing and Source of Infection together, but now that someone said that, I can kind of see that comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something there.
Yeah, I thought that worked. Our good buddy Chaz Mataz says, so self-derivative, Def Leppard laughs at it. Ouch, there's a shot at Def Leppard, another bad
idea. Wow.
Yeah. Sammy should have sung Hot for Teacher and called it a day. So,
I mean, would you, the audience, have accepted Sammy's version of Hot for Teacher? Like, him actually singing Hot for Teacher? Would any of you remotely accept it? I would, but would you? That's my rebuttal.
Yep. Kevin Brown from the Tom Petty Project and from the Seaside Pod Review, the Queen podcast, says, I can't get past those lyrics. Musically, it's tight, but suffers more than most on OU812 from the audio design and production. And Eddie is on fire, but I don't mind a word salad if it's well seasoned, but these lyrics seem to have been metaphorically dipped in human shit and then set on fire. Even a great vocal performance doesn't rescue it for me. Wow.
Wish now, they were honest. Just be honest about your feedback.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Kevin Brown is nothing if not honest, and we appreciate that about him. But my thing is, you really want to compare those lyrics? Well, do you not remember Up for Breakfast? That's my... Come on now. Like, you think these lyrics are that bad, like, compared to Up for Breakfast? Like, I tried defending Up for Breakfast, and as Corey kept pointing it out, you can't. You can't defend that.
That's probably the low mark for me when it comes to Sammy's Up for Breakfast. Like, he doesn't have the delivery like he did on Source of Infection. That's why that really elevated that song for me. Yeah.
Fair enough.
But Kevin is hoping for some positivity this week. He's hated the last two songs we did. So hopefully we spin something good for Kev tonight. Gene Hickey says, the lyrics, or lack thereof, never bothered me back in 88. And they still don't now. Always looked at this song as just a band having fun. And it still stomps today. 100%. Love it, Gene. I agree totally. That's great. Jeff Fisher, I love this comment, says, I would have voted thumbs down before listening to the episode. Now I just added it to my playlist.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, that rocks. David Lee Smith says, I can see why Sammy referred to this song as Ugh. The guave worm that he ate in Cabo Wabo was his source of infection, and he became your obnoxious drunk uncle during that particular day. Despite the annoying production, the song musically is what dreams are made of for me. And he also points out, if Sammy called the song a joke, well, then I say it's a joke that falls flat as a pancake, or I mean pound cake. Ha, ha, ha. There's a little dad joke from David Lee Smith.
Oof. Yeah, well, we, you know, dad jokes or no, we appreciate it.
Sammy did kind of call the song a joke, but I think more that they were just, you know, having fun recording this thing. And it comes through, and it's fun to listen to.
Yeah, it's not a problem, I don't think.
Yep. Oh, Chaz Mataz is back, and he says, I downvoted and I so dirty need a shower. Don't hate the virtuosity, dislike that it's self-derivative. In my honest opinion, 100 times worse than a cover. Ouch. Hot for Teacher Redux. Does the same run two times at the main solo, even the taping and drum intro. In my honest opinion, played it so a few times because he was embarrassed.
That is a take. That's a take. We're good on you, Chaz.
Yeah.
I got nothing to say to that.
Only two left. Ryan Powell says, can't fault Mark the Bat for using his mulligan, but I feel I need to defend those songs. This is a great track. Issue is not lack of bass in the mix, but the bass tone is all mid and high, no depth. Still a great interplay and solos, all three.
Yeah.
100% agree. Yep.
The consensus here is, I don't think not just Sammy's lyrics are awful. It's that the production quality really kind of does not do any favors for any songs on this album. And I agree with you all on that.
You know, it bothered me less actually on Source of Infection than on other tracks in OU812. So I'm opposite of Kevin on that one too. I thought the production on that song alone was pretty good, actually.
Can I jump on that?
It certainly stands out better.
Yeah, you bet.
Go ahead.
Well, for fans who love bootlegs, to me, there's a bootleggy quality to OU812 that's rough and raw, like kind of bootleggy. So for fans who love their bootlegs, I'm surprised this one gets beat up so much.
Oh, that's a good point. And there's some banging tracks. We got a big one that we haven't done yet, Black and Blue, that I can't wait for. Maybe I'll manifest that here tonight. But our final comment is from Scott Monroe, who says, I adore the intro and really enjoy the overall speed and playfulness. Harmonies are on point, and Sammy's range inflection on the chorus is just so good. Probably my favorite deep cut on the album. That's a great comment to end it on. I couldn't agree more.
Hell yeah. Thank you all for your participation. Keep it up. Keep interacting. Let us know how you feel. Whether or not some of those takes are on point or it's not for us to decide. It's for you guys to decide. We appreciate the involvement. But with that being said, Corey, I think it's time to get into the show. We've got the Sammy Hagar boys with us. So what do you say we do a little, say it with me, everyone, manifesting? That's right.
Shots.
Good job. Take a shot. Brent, Darren, you guys, you do a Sammy Hagar podcast. One might assume, I'm not going to do that, but one might assume you're going to naturally just gravitate towards wanting to do a particular Sammy Hagar song, but maybe you don't. So, Brent, let me start with you. What song tonight on the show do you want to manifest that we can talk about? Or maybe not just a song. Is there something from a particular album you want to hear?
Yeah, I love it. In the category of manifestation, for me, I'm all about the balance. And we did an episode a few episodes ago, kind of deep dive into balance. And, you know, was it the Fair Warning and did it foreshadow the split? For me, balance is one of my absolute favorite Sammy VH era albums. And I'm going to go manifest Amsterdam.
Oh,
that's a big one. Mark's been waiting for that one for a while.
Well, somebody has in this household, that's for sure. So,
and then we could really get into lyrics, right, Brent?
That's right.
Yeah, then we can. But Darren, how about yourself? What particular track or a particular era do you want to manifest on the show tonight?
Well, I don't want to step on Corey's shoes because we're the guests here. But as the, you know, as a guitar player as well as you, Mark, I'm going to go with Black and Blue because that's one of my favorite tunes to play on guitar. It's a lot of fun. It's if you're not, you don't have to be an Eddie wizard to be able to master that riff. So when I first learned how to play guitar, that was the first actual riff. I'm like, damn, I can play Van Halen. So it's accessible, right? So I love that. I got a nostalgic place in my heart for Black and Blue.
That's a special rite of passage for any guitar player when you finally figure out a Van Halen riff and you're just like, yes, I've done it.
It's possible.
It is possible. Yes. Kudos to that. So, well, hey, Corey, I mean, you can still manifest Black and Blue if you want. Maybe double the manifestation, double the chances. Who knows? But I'll throw it back to you anyway. Do you want to manifest that or do you have a backup?
Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't be mad at Black and Blue. It may, I don't want to tip my hand. It may or may not be my favorite track off of OU812. I'll let you know when we spin it. But I was thinking a Sammy track, of course, because we got the Sammy boys on here. We got the Bro boys on here. But I'm thinking more 5150 and maybe the first ever song. When you popped on 5150 for the first time, say you dropped that needle on that vinyl, what's the first thing you heard? You heard Hello Baby and Good Enough. That's what I'd like to hear tonight.
Hello Baby. That means you're listening to And the Podcast Will Rock, isn't it? Isn't that what happens?
Yeah, that's on there too. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, let's hope for that. Yeah. I myself am going to manifest a Sammy tune as well. However, I'm going to be so broad and just go, I want to hear something from the Fuck album.
I knew anything. That was coming.
Give me Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. Like, and it doesn't matter what it is. And I know those are going to be my dying words, but that's what I'm going to try to manifest because I love that album. There are a few tracks I would love to discuss just because they're great. There's some tracks I would love to discuss just because I really want to see Corey's reaction. That's just for selfish reasons. It's fine, but the Fuck album, that's what I'm gonna bring to the table.
It's a great album minus a couple of tracks, but before we spin the wheel, I'm gonna give it a shuffle, and I'm gonna give it 10 shuffles tonight because our friends at 10. The Bogus Oda Show have 10 episodes out. Episode 10 dropped today, talking everything live without a net. And God, I love that show because I think you asked in the description of the show, is it the greatest concert home video ever filmed? And the answer absolutely is yes.
Yes.
So I'm going to shuffle it 10 times. Everyone's watching here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We're sitting on. Oh, wow, we're sitting on a stinker. That's okay. We're going to go to Sammy here, and we're going to spin this wheel.
Well, if Darren, Brent, if you guys are ready, Corey's ready, I'm ready. All that's left to go is Sammy. Warm up the pipes and hit us with it. Let's spin that wheel.
Here we go!
Oh. Well,
it's not a Sammy track.
It is not. The wheel said, fuck you all.
So that's I'll Wait from 1984, one of the biggest Dave albums. Of course, we have the Sammy guys on the show, and we spin a big track from 1984. Mark, maybe tell us a little bit about 1984 and your memories of it.
I mean, the biggest standout there is this is the song with two of my absolute favorite Van Halen tracks and probably two of the most famous, certainly one, the most famous song comes from this album. So needless to say, this one got a lot of play when I finally kind of ventured out of my small circle of the best of and some of the early Van Halen albums, i.e. 1 and 2. And when I was really kind of doing an exploration, I really got into this one because this has so many good tracks with 1984. I mean, need I mention Jump? We've already talked about Hot for Teacher. There's Panama, Drop Dead Legs. I mean, this is like, I don't think there's a single bad track off of this album whatsoever. I have songs that I like a little bit more than others, obviously, but I don't think this one has a lot of bad. This is, as you say, a big album for the band. Some might even argue the biggest. How about yourself, Corey?
Well, 1984 was like my first real Van Halen album. I got into Van Halen watching Much Music up here in Canada. and you know, the Hot for Teacher video and Jump and all those. So I'm very familiar with All Wade. I don't want to tip my hand too much and talk too much about it before we listen to the song, but this is a big one, one that a lot of people have been waiting for off of 1984, credited songwriting wise to all four members and Michael McDonald. In the UK, anyway, in the US, he was never credited as a co-writer on this one. But Brett, it's not a Sammy tune, but it's a pretty good Dave tune. What do you think about 1984?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, my quick history of being introduced to this band was it was June of 1984. It was our grade 7 year-end class party. And a buddy of mine brought in the Diver Down album. And it was the first time that I'd ever seen anything by Van Halen. And so he kept spinning tunes off of Diver Down. And then about 3 weeks later, it was early July. It was my birthday. And I saw a little clip of the US Festival show that was shown on a local cable station up here. And I said to my parents, I need to have the 1984 album for my birthday. And it was the first album that I owned from this band. And yeah, it's not Sammy, but I'm actually pretty excited to chat about this tune. It's killer. It rocks.
Right on, right on. Darren, how about you?
I'm in the same boat. I kind of string some of these songs together, and I feel like I'll Wait is the precursor to Love Walks In, which is then the precursor to Feel So Good. I love, and dare I say it, Up for Breakfast, which is that kind of thumping, nothing against Mike on the bass, but I love that kind of thumping keyboard synth bass. I love it here, right? And the drums are killer on this particular song.
I was just referencing the Van Halen Encyclopedia, which you had its author on your show in episode 9, CJ Chalvers, right? Or Chilvers?
Chilvers,
yeah, yep.
Awesome guy.
Yep. So I'm looking at the encyclopedia, and he says, I'll Wait is one of the two songs Dave and Ted Templeman wanted left off of 1984 because of the keyboards. The other song was Jump.
So Brent and I talked about this on our most recent episode, Live Without an Echo, because we're saying, you know, I'll Wait could have been a song that could have easily slipped onto 5150, right? Maybe you could have heard a version of this in an alternate universe with Sammy singing it, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think there seems to be a pretty well-known tale that Dave was, you know, kind of anti-keyboard and wanting to, you know, keep the guitar god on the guitar and steer away from anything related to the keyboard stuff. And so having him wanting this album to be, or excuse me, this song to be left off the album, I think, isn't that also what sort of led to the him not being able to finish the lyrics, and Michael McDonald ended up, you know, kind of coming in and helping to put the rest of it together. So there's a little mystique and there's some cool elements, kind of the backstory of this tune.
Yeah. Legend has it, Dave had trouble completing the melody. So that's why, they brought in, Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers, and the rest is kind of history.
What a ringer to bring in. like to help figure out a melody. It's like, who can we possibly call that's gonna help us out? Let's not get another fellow you know, rock and hard rock lyricist that we're touring with all the time. No, shoot for gold. We're going to Michael McDonald. He's over there recording with Steely Dan and Kenny Loggins, but he's got time to figure this out real quick. And sure enough, there you go.
And that was all through the Ted Templeman connection, because I believe in his book, a section on, yep, you know, how that all came to play, right?
Yep.
That's amazing. That is so amazing. I did not know that.
And he wasn't paid, right? He wasn't paid for this, apparently, right?
Credited. Yeah, I don't think paid. He was. Yeah. He was credited in the UK, but not in the US.
Yeah. But paid in not paid in either country, right?
Exactly.
No, but you know, he got his name on paper somewhere in there, and that's probably all that mattered to him. He's like, it's fine. I got my name on Van Halen.
I was gonna say, in 1984, for the Doobie Brothers to be associated with Van Halen, come on.
Yeah, but that is a Van Halen were like the fun piece of trivia there.
Biggest band in the world at that time, so yeah, that's a good call. What do you say, boys? Should we listen to a little I'll Wait from 1984?
Let's do
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Here we go. We'll be right back.
right, Mark, thoughts on that intro? I really kind of dug just the keyboards and just the cymbal work of Alex on that, just to bring it in. Nice build.
Now all I can think of, Doobie Brothers presents Van Halen. Here you go with this little this key intro. And now I can't even see Eddie behind the keys. I see Michael McDonald's ass back there. He's just like, it's like, I'll tell you when to come in, Dave. All right. Just over there, just like plucking away. And that is so funny to me. So it gives me a whole new perspective on this song. But I love that intro, actually. It's I love subverting expectations when it comes to Van Halen songs. Like, if you had no inclination that this was Van Halen and you heard this intro, would you automatically assume that's Van Halen?
No, yeah,
all no, shaking their
no,
head. No,
not at all.
No,
yeah.
No way. The answer is no. Yeah, I would have thought like someone like John Cougar Mellencamp or like Steve Winwood, something like that. But
Steve
no,
Winwood, yeah.
Van Halen. Yeah, there you go. But it's Van Halen indeed. So I love this intro, and I love that it's not your typical. It's not your norm.
Yeah, for me, it's the power of that little drum roll, and then kicks into that the bottom end with the bass. It just that the thumping beat all the way through this song. It's another one that to me is just I think begging to be played live, far 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 beyond the 1984 tour, and it should have been a staple tune on set lists for tours to come for sure.
I agree. I think because of the keyboards. The attention's pulled there, like Eddie on keyboards. I think this is a Alex song, and I love, not to get too inside baseball guitar gear or gear wise, but I think there's a bit of flange on the drums that sounds killer on this particular song. I think that, to me, this is an Alex killer tune.
I love that you said that. It definitely does feel like an Alex tune. I 100% agree with you, but because Brent brought it up, this is one of my favorite things. We're going to play, how many times do you think Van Halen played this song live? We're going to do this Price of Right rules. You got to get closest to the number without going over. So let's start with Mark. Let's leave the guests a moment to think about this one. Mark, how many times do you think Van Halen played I'll Wait live in concert without going over?
Man, without going over. Okay. In their entire career, I'm going to say they played this a good old whopping 105
times. 105
times.
All right. Darren, what do you think?
I'm going to go with the exact number of tour dates for the Different Kind of Truth tour. I'm going to say 60 times.
60 times. All right, Brent.
Wow. I'm going to go 150 times.
150. And Mark, what was yours again?
105.
Brent takes it. The correct answer is 280 times.
Wow.
Oh, dude, my look first guess was 200, was right at 200. That
was my first guess. I thought you were going to say 280.
So was this a staple on the 84 tour? Because I made that joke because I thought they only kind of dug it up on the Different Kind of Truth.
Yeah, no, they played it 106 times on the 84 tour, but they also played it in 07 and 08.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Did they really?
Yeah, and then on the Wolfie tours, 2012 and 2015 as well. 2013, too. So yeah.
I wonder if that's because Wolfie likes playing it.
Could be. I think he was kind of in charge of the set list on those tours, right?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear, and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yeah, I think absolutely. The 07, 08 run, 212, and for sure 2015, I think he largely dictated the set lists on all three of those tours. And the other guys, even though, you know, they're the ones in charge, probably just looked at Wolfie and went, okay.
Which one's that again? Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, no, this, just as Dave gets going with the lyrics here, I think the big question is, when you first heard this song or first got the album and went through it and heard these lyrics, didn't everybody automatically assume that when Dave says, you know, I have your picture, I know it well, another page is turned, got it from a magazine, everyone's thinking it's clearly a dirty magazine of some kind, right? Like this is in, you know, going down the porn road. And I think what was the clarification? It was, wasn't it like a GQ kind of magazine? It was almost like a sort of a fashion, sort of an ad or something that was his inspiration.
It was a Calvin Klein ad.
Calvin Klein. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But didn't everybody go, I mean, he's obviously talking about it's, you know, gotta be from Playboy magazine or something like that. Right.
You want to hear
it's
something
easy
embarrassing,
to make that
though?
Assumption.
Yeah,
it is. But when I was a kid and I popped on 1984, I thought it was a yearbook. He was talking about his teacher because the song that preceded this was Hot for Teacher.
For Teacher.
That's interesting.
I was 10 years old and I thought it was a concept album. Oh, he's talking about his teacher again.
I love that. That's awesome.
that right there is a Canadian rock fan who's listened to a lot of Rush, so everything must be awesome.
We can't escape it here, right?
It's true. I wasn't even listening to Rush in 1984. I was only 10 years old.
I understand. You have to graduate to that particular
That's right.
realm. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. You. Yeah. When you're given your first pack of smokes and your first, 12 pack of Labatt's and your toque, you're given the entire Rush discography. You got to know this.
That's called a Canadian baptism right there, yeah, I think. Right.
That's right. Yeah. That happens when you turn 19 in Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Oh, man. I am your picture, yes, I know it well. Another page is turned. Are you for real? It's so hard to tell. From just a magazine.
Yeah, you just smiled in the picture still. Oh, that chorus, Mark Kammeyer.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Oh, that chorus is lovely. But I'm suddenly, as we're listening to this, I'm being flooded with the memory of, I've mentioned before, a lot of my early Van Halen education came from just taking car rides, with my folks or whatever, and they would show up on the radio. Everybody, every rock station, didn't matter if it was for the newer rock or older rock, classic rock, whatever, they would play Van Halen always. This song definitely got some radio play during my childhood years, and I keep thinking it was an embarrassingly long number of years before I even realized that was Van Halen, because I mentioned Steve Winwood earlier, because it's like I thought that was just Steve Winwood because it sounds like a song he would do. I'm quite sure he has done a song similar to this, but you know, the only thing that stopped me from truly believing it was Steve Winwood was the vocals, and then of course, you know, Eddie Van Halen, of course. But for a long time I was not convinced that was Van Halen. I thought my parents were messing with me when they said no, this is Van Halen. You're like, you'll like this song, like that's not them. It doesn't sound anything like them. Yes.
Well, I was about to jump on there too, because up to this point in the song there's not a lick, pardon the pun, of Eddie.
Oh, no.
So far, there's not a pick slide, a tapped harmonic, you know, some, you know, doubling guitar in the back. There is zero Eddie. Obviously, he's on keyboards, but guitar-wise, there's zip so far, right?
Yeah, exactly.
This is, I'm glad we stopped at the chorus. I would say lyrically, this is probably one of my favorite choruses of any Van Halen tune. And the thing that I love about it the most is there's no repetition in it. There isn't a single word that is repeated more than once. It's just like the chorus is just, it's like the lyrics just kind of keep on going. It's mint, mint, best chorus.
Yeah.
It's like a single thought that he's hitting you with to the point.
Yes.
You know, he's not trying to like overly reiterate. It's like, you might as well do this. Go ahead and do this. Go ahead. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, 100%.
But, yeah, no, I'm with you absolutely about that.
I wrote a letter and told her these words that meant a lot to me. I never sent it, she wouldn't ever. Her eyes still follow me. And while she watches, I can never be free. Such good photography.
Yeah, I'm going to acquiesce to the experts on the panel here, but Dave's not really out front. In the mix here, there's some sort of effect on his vocal, and he's kind of back. You're hearing he's right on par with the keyboards. Yeah. I'm used to like earlier Van Halen albums with Dave, where he's kind of up front and in charge and with the vocal. He's kind of back here. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, you're right. And that's why I keep saying this is Alex song, because the drums are just so in the mix out front, so large. It's just you hear that undeniable Alex snare, right?
It's nice to give Big Al a little bit of love, right? He never does. He never does get the cred. And you're right. His voice is it is kind of a little back in the mix and almost kind of subtly there. But I think it fits the vibe of the tune, right? It's kind of like a, you know, it's upbeat but brooding at the same time.
Mm-hmm. It's like he's in an echo chamber with the keyboard. Like it almost feels like a. This might be a Ted Templeman thing where he said, let's get you and the keys like right there on par with one another. And it almost kind of sounds like they're singing in the same chamber, both the keys and the vocals. But I have to wonder, you mentioned Alex being sort of in the center of it all. It's very drum centric, very Alex centric. I wonder if that's because Eddie and him had a conversation. Eddie said, I'm just going to play keys on this one. So, you know, you do what you do. But I'm just going to stick on keys. So Alex like, oh, okay, I'll do what I do. Sure.
I've always seen this as like the antithesis to Jump, because Jump is so like progressive, out, go do it. And this one's like timid, like hanging back. I'll wait, like not. It's like the opposite of Jump, right? Even like vibe and even like the mix wise, you know, Dave is so front and Jump. And then this one, he's like, you know, it's a little bit more subdued in the back, right?
That's so cool to look at it that way. You got the two big keyboard tracks on 1984.
Yeah, and they're very diametrically opposed, right?
Darren loves the twofer thing. We've talked a lot about that, and some of the things we want to talk about is, you know, kind of putting two tracks back to back. So I guess it's, what is it, Go Ahead and Wait then? Is that what's happening?
Kind of, right? Go ahead and wait.
And it really, I mean, that speaks volumes about just the dynamics of the band themselves, just because, you can put these two songs back to back, and while they follow sort of instrumentally similar structures, they are vastly different. As you said, this is like the opposite of Jump. What? Yeah, right down to the lyrics as well.
Because I was gonna say, it points to where they were heading, right? Could you ever imagine Daily Roth saying, I'll wait for anything?
No. And these are really good lyrics.
Lyrics? Yeah. Like, Dave, sing this. I'm not gonna wait. What are you talking about?
I have to point out, you know, because I'm sure everyone will scream at me if I don't. These lyrics by Dave are wonderful. These are really good lyrics.
They are.
Whereas Jump's lyrics, spoiler alert, is a bunch of nonsense, really, when you break it down, and we'll get there. I have to wonder, though, did Michael McDonald have any influence whatsoever on the lyrics, or did he only do the melody?
I thought it was. I could be wrong. I'm sure we'll break the internet if I say the wrong thing, but I thought it was lyrics as well, that Dave usually drives around in his Hoffer Teacher convertible trying to figure out the lyrics. I'll have to go back to the Ted Templeman book, but I thought it was lyrics that he was stumbling with, and Michael McDonald kind of came in and, you know, carpenter together for them, right?
Thinking back to the Ted Templeman book as a source, I think he said that it was the melody and the lyrics he was having trouble with. So,
but do we know exactly which line it was? Or
no, I don't remember. No.
No, but I mean, I don't know. It just, and I'm not trying to knock on Dave too hard in his lyric writing. I'm just saying, like, these are pretty well, more well done than you would get.
I can't think about how to write about waiting for something. Someone help me.
Darren, you're asking the wrong two guys. As our reviews on the podcast show, we don't know fucking anything.
We don't know
fucking anything.
that's why I'm asking questions, because I don't know. So we should, you know, help
Diamond
me.
Diamond doesn't write about waiting for anything. What is this? I'm stumped.
I think you're onto something, though. I mean, Dave's always been witty with his lyrics. Mm-hmm. He was always very smart and witty, but the lyrics to this song are like, it's like reading a book. It's like telling a story, right? Yeah. It's very different. I mean, usually he's catchy with phrases and rhyming and all of that, but this is actually weaving a really powerful story, right? It's cool.
Exactly.
Is that a Michael McDonald trademark? I don't listen to a lot of Doobie Brothers. Do we have any Doobie Brother experts on the panel here tonight?
I'm not an expert. My mother is, but she would tell you, yes, he's good at painting word portraits in his lyrics. Even if they're simple, even if they're very, very simple, like "What a Fool Believes" is not exactly, you're not going to win a Pulitzer for those lyrics, but they're very good and well done, and the melody as well. So I don't know. I just thinking about how the melodies flow in this particular song, and you mentioned Michael McDonald, and I'm reading these lyrics, I have to wonder that, like, okay, he probably had a little bit of a hand in writing them, because it feels like that's probably the case.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's kind of like, you know, "Without Love, Where Would You Be Now," right? Simple, but it's catchy. You could see, mm-hmm. I would be surprised if he's got his hand on these lyrics in a bigger way than, you know, was even revealed in the Ted Templeman book.
Probably.
We were just talking about Billy Gibbons, and I know around this time they became pretty good friends, Eddie and Billy. And to me, this is the most Billy-esque Eddie solo. It's very, held back. It's not a mile a minute. He plays notes very tastefully, holds them kind of like how Billy does. It feels like a ZZ Top solo in a Van Halen song to me, especially that section we just heard, right? And then it kind of goes into a very tasteful coming up whammy solo, where around this time a lot of bands who I won't mention were just going crazy on the whammy but didn't have the taste in my opinion that Eddie had with using whammy. So that section to me was really awesome.
I cannot agree more. Billy Gibbons to me is an underrated guitar player and soloist, and we talk about this with Eddie how he plays the solo that fits the song. He's not just "Look at all the notes I can play," blah, 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 and all the bullshit.
Right. So
that, on
this
it, right?
Solo fixed this right. Song, right?
I love the little tease, the pre solo little musical interlude on the keys, like whatever, and it's like it almost makes you feel like, okay, we've ended the second chorus, we're gonna get into that solo, because that's how Van Halen songs work most of the time, and here comes Eddie with that guitar, right, not yet, nope. It's just like it's not the song you think it is, and then when he finally comes in, as you say, way more subdued than your typical Eddie Van Halen
blazing
solo.
Right, and then he switches into this very killer groove, right?
Yeah, furthering the belief that I think you're right. I think this is an Alex song. This is not for anybody else. This is Alex's.
We've talked a couple of times about some similarities to some TV show theme songs, and you know, Darren's on his Magnum PI thing, and you know, I kind of can't help but, as that solo comes in, it feels a bit almost Miami Vice-ish to me. Yeah. I don't know.
Ah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's not up front like a guitar solo usually is. It's kind of underneath. It's very 80s. It sounds very 80s, but I thought it was weird that we're 2 minutes and 50 seconds in before we actually heard a guitar.
I was going to ask you how far we went to actually hear Eddie. So that's amazing that you don't hear any. And you know how Eddie is. Usually there's something in the back. Like I said, usually he likes to use like tapped harmonics. Even the, you know, he whammy stuff or even like slides that he uses for texture elements. There's nothing till right there, right?
Yeah. It's like it's another way of looking how at this song and Jump share similar qualities.
So that last part right there, first of all, he does a very Billy Gibbons-esque where he does, mm-hmm. he's way up high and he goes into the pentatonic and does like a pentatonic low note to augment that, to offset it, which is very Billy Gibbons, but he kills it in a great way. And then that last section, the way he does that whammy trick is very tasteful. And if you try to do that, it's not a long piece, but I have yet to replicate it because it's just very tasteful and he's just a master with the whammy, right? That's a great little piece.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great solo.
What your image means, the pages come alive. Your magic brings everyone who reads, heartbreaking motor drive. Are you for real? It's so hard to tell from just a magazine. Yeah, you just smile in the picture.
So many great fills, right? Those fills are
great fills, and every once in a while he'll just throw in an extra crash too, right?
Yeah
like you have the standard crash and then two beats later you have another crash. I love that.
Never mind the guitar, I want to become a drummer now. That's it.
Yeah, I'm in.
Awesome tune
that is. I'll Wait from 1984. Good stuff. Mark Meyer, do you want to kick us off here and start voting?
I mean, why not? So, Brent, Darren, I know you guys were looking forward to a Sammy tune. The wheel said, nah, listen to this one instead. So, that being said, how do you, Darren, we'll start with you. How do you feel about I Will Wait from 1984? Would you say that this is, in fact, what dreams are made of? Or is the dream over for you?
I love it. I think it's a killer song. And I think it doesn't, you know, only because there's so many other, you know, hits that were on this album that overshadow it. I think it's a deep cut that is in sore need of more appreciation like we did tonight. I think there's so much to be learned about the entire band just by this one song. So I love it.
All right. So I got to make it official.
Dreams are made of.
Yep. He did not give me the thumbs up. So I got to play the track.
And it's fitting you played a Sammy song right there, right? So there you go.
That's right. All right, Brett, let's go to you. Give me an indication. Is this what dreams are made of, or is this dream over?
Yeah, you know, I mean, 1984 for me as an album top to bottom, there's probably not a better record in the catalog of this band, regardless of singer. And, you know, as much as I was pulling for Amsterdam and a little bit of balance tonight, I'm really happy that your magical wheel stopped us on All Wait, because it brought us back to 1984. And man, it just rocks. It rocks. And we love Al. So nice to see Al be out there.
We do love Al indeed. Corey Morissette, you're a big Alex Van Halen kind of guy. So would you say this song, being very much an Alex tune, as we've discussed, would you say it's What Dreams Are Made Of, or is the dream over?
I'm going to go get some Doobie Brothers albums, because aside from the big hits, I don't know a lot of Doobie Brothers shit or Michael McDonald stuff, but I could picture him on the keyboards with, you know, his shock white hair, playing along with Letty. He was doing the guitar solo, and I had a lot of fun with that. This is a great song. I'm kind of with Brent. I don't know if there's a stinker on 1984. It's top to bottom one of my favorite albums of all time. Every song is great. I don't want to tip my hand for the next 1984 song we spin, but I'll Wait is certainly right up there. It was a big hit for the band. I think it hit top 20, number 13 on the Billboard single charts. Great tune. Dave sounds great. He's in his wheelhouse. We talked about how Sammy doesn't own a wheelhouse. He could sing anything. He could sing in the phone book and make it sound great, but Dave, when he's in his wheelhouse, he's great, and he's great on this track. I love the production. I'm glad that Don Landy and Eddie Van Halen fought to keep this track on 1984, because it's an absolute banger. I love I'll Wait. So that brings us to Mark Kammeyer, who hates everything that David Lee Roth ever did. How are you going to vote? True. Is this dream over, or is this what dreams are made of?
It's true. I absolutely hate everything David does. Oh, I can hear Twitter already. It's a joke, you guys. No, obviously, this is I've talked about how this, there's no bad track on 1984. I know I tip my hand a little bit too much there, but you know, there are still lots of room for analyzation. That being said, I'll Wait. I forgot for a hot second that this track was on this album until we spun it, and then I had to hear it in my head and go, oh right, that is nice. What a nice refind. I don't know what else I can contribute to it other than what we've already talked about. It's not your typical Van Halen song, and I think that works to its advantage. Is it keyboard centric? Yes, it is. But look, you can say all you want, especially the people that are very pro Dave and very pro old school Van Halen, whatever you want to say, and say like, oh, well, they totally lost it when they added the keys. Well, tell that to the fact that 1984 is probably their biggest album, or if it's one of their biggest album, it certainly has their number one biggest song of all time on it, which, by the way, is very keyboard centric. I love the fact that Darren and Brent, you guys called this the not the anti jump, but the opposite of jump, because I think that's very, very fitting in all the best ways. And I just, now all I want to do is listen to this song and Jump side by side and just kind of just go through them both just to hear the dichotomy of the two different tracks.
The yin and the yang, right?
The yin and the yang. Absolutely. And but
it's missing one thing though, right? Like, cause we talked about that section before the guitar solo where there's that keyboard goes on for about 10 seconds. I feel like, as much as I love Dave as well, I feel like that section, it was begging for a Dave spoken word quip or something right there, right? Like a slow where he just sings, right?
I might
that
have
suit
agreed.
Is you.
Something like that where he's like, you know, that's what.
Oh, listen to them keys.
Yeah, something like where he kind of speaks, you know, his Dave sexy voice. But I feel like right there, it could be like it was begging for like him speaking right there, a little section, right?
I can see what you mean by that. My only pushback against that is the fact that the content of the song really doesn't seem like it would call for that, because it seems very straightforward in the lyrics. And as we said, like he's telling a story in this particular song. He's not doing his usual Rothisms, if you will. So I don't know. I feel like if he threw in the little spoken words, while it would have been on brand. For me anyway, this is just me. I think that might have lessened it to a tiny degree, but I could be wrong.
That's a good counterpoint, man. You're right. Good counterpoint.
Yeah. I guess it would depend on what exactly he would be saying in that little section, but I still am cracking up the fact that that I feel like that was going to be a moment for people to just like, all right, they got that away. Here comes the rip roaring solo, and Eddie just does not give it to them. because why, he's like, no, this ain't the song for it. Wait a couple more tracks, it's fine.
Well said. You mentioned the sales for 1984. It's actually their second highest grossing album, 11.7 million copies sold, just under Van Halen 1, which is 11.8. So,
well, I stand corrected, but still, number two, that's still very big numbers.
Absolutely. And the nearest Sammy album, 5150, only 6.8 million copies sold.
Only? Wow.
Yeah. Only six times platinum. Can you believe it?
Don't know what
is that like. Recent as of now? Like how recent is that? Like, because I'm curious. I always like to track to see how these albums over time, you know, do they change? Do they volley for position? Like, is Van Halen 1 always over 84? Is it up and down? Or
you know, that's a good call. I'm just looking on bestsellingalbums.org, and that's how they have them ranked today. But yeah, I don't know when the last time they actually you know, reassessed that. Who knows? 1984 could have passed it by now. It's very close.
So they're like one of only a handful of rock bands who have like back to back or two diamond selling albums, if I'm not
mistaken. That's right. There's only a few. I know Def Leppard has two diamond albums, Pyromania and Hysteria, and Van Halen is one. There's a couple others too.
We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Van Halen, and we just did that with their track from 1984, I'll Wait. Good stuff. And we did it with two pro Sammy Hagar fellas, which goes to show you we can all live in Van Halen harmony. It's all good. It's fine. We all appreciate the music equally. Doesn't matter who's singing.
You say that, Mark, but I got to tell you, we've started doing live shows. And we have one coming up on December 17th. We're going to talk with a bunch of people from the Deep Dive Podcast Network. But I'm already thinking towards January. And I thought, what better live show can we do in January than maybe get the two folks we have on the panel here tonight, Brett and Darren from the Bogus Soda Show, and maybe our two friends from the DLR cast, and do a live show with them. And we'll spin the wheel twice and hopefully get a Dave cut and a Sammy cut and get their and just have them fight it out. And Mark cool, and I man. Can kind of be, because Mark and I are Van Halen, we'll be lukewarm water. We're in the middle. We'll have the DLR guys as fire.
The two Darrens come face to face.
That's right.
Yeah.
That sounds to me like that's a big old round table of fun right there. I think we're all into that. Absolutely.
You're in? Absolutely. I'm going to pitch it to the DLR cast guys and see what they say. That might be coming in January. I'd be very interested to get you guys on there with those boys and spin the wheel a couple times and see what we get.
We'd be honored to be on that. That's great.
Those guys are great. Excellent.
Only because I'm an agent of chaos, and that sounds like the most chaotic show we could ever do. So you're absolutely, I'm into that. So I love to see it. Love to see it. Can't wait for it. So get ready. But Corey, you just mentioned a live show in December. You don't forget, you guys. We had such a fun time in our anniversary show to do a live show, and we got a lot of great feedback from it. We decided let's do that again. So December 17th. Get your calendars ready. Live show and the podcast will rock. And I am anticipating lots of mayhem, lots of laughter, and of course, lots of rock and roll. Good stuff. Am I forgetting anything, Corey?
No, that's about it. December 17th. You can check us out on YouTube at Podcast Will Rock and on our website, www.podcastwillrock.com. We're hopefully going to have a lot of people from the Deep Dive Podcast Network on. I know Scott from the Uriah Heep show, the Magicians podcast will be on. Kevin from the Tom Petty Project will be on. A few other people have expressed interest. A lot of guys are overseas, so 9 p.m. Eastern might be a little late for them. But I've talked with a few of them about pre-recording something too. But we're going to celebrate the Deep Dive Podcast Network, which we're happy to be a part of. December 17th. And if you're around and kicking around, we'll post the link. Maybe we'll bring you on the show too. We're going to spin the wheel twice. We're going to get two shows out of it to kind of carry us through the Christmas season. And hopefully the wheel gave us two big hits actually last time. No, well, they gave us Tattoo off a Different Kind of Truth and a big one off of OU812. So I can't wait to see what we have coming up for the live show. And you heard it here first, January, the Bogus Otis Shows boys are in for a live show with the DLR cast guys, so I'll reach out to them. Hopefully we can get Sammy versus Dave. We'll settle the argument once and for all.
Can the internet handle it?
Or we do this. If all right, here's I'm just gonna throw this out there, and we can scrap it, you can cut it later if this doesn't work. But if we happen to spin, only because I know there's a version out there, if we happen to spin a track like Ain't Talking About Love, I recommend we listen to both versions. We listen to David Lee Roth's version that we all know and love, but then we listen to Sammy Hagar singing it. I know for a fact there's a great live recording of him doing that. Probably one of the only live recordings, at least that I have found, of Sammy doing Dave tunes and not sounding like he hates his life, actually. So if the wheel is kind, or if both parties are interested in something like that, that I'd might be
down,
something.
Brent, you down for that? I'd be down for that.
That is what dreams are made of.
Yes.
See what I did there?
All right.
Love it. Keeping it on brand. So we're spitballing ideas. But yes, January, we're going to try and make that happen. DLR casts the balls in your court. But Brent, Darren, thank you guys so much for being on the show, man. Thank you for providing your insight and for sucking it up and doing a Dave tune as opposed to a Sammy tune that I know you guys were looking forward to. But it's all good. You had some great great feedback, great takes, great commentary on this particular track, and we appreciate it. Please let the audience know where they can find you guys and where they can tune into your show.
Darren, do it. Do it.
I was going to say, so we're on Facebook, Bogus Odor Show. We're on all your Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you find your podcasts. We will be soon coming to YouTube. We're catching up with you guys. But yeah, we are excited. We love your show, and we're very honored to be here. So thank you for having us.
Yeah, this has been an absolute honor and pleasure. We're big fans of you guys, and we really appreciate you having us on, giving us a little bit of airtime. And at the end of the day, you know, it's Sammy first for us, but it's all Van Halen, and it's all good. And it was fun to chat about All Wade tonight too.
Well, we were honored to have you. I know listening to your last show, you guys talked about Wolfie, you talked about everything Van Halen. And any show that flies the flag of Van Halen, we're absolutely all for. You guys are doing a fantastic job on the Bogus Odor Show. I know you're, what, two episodes away from the end of season one? And your last show, you kind of teased maybe some big stuff coming up. Is there anything you want to promote here tonight that's maybe coming up in season two?
Ooh, so we've got a pretty cool guest for show number 13, which will be our final episode of season one. And it's, I would say, 1 degree or less away from Mr. Hagar. We'll keep it a secret for now who our special guest is going to be. But that one's going to be coming up in the middle of January. So definitely want to tune into that. And we've got some tentacles out all over the place. Darren and I have been working hard behind the scenes to line up some cool guests for the new year. And, you know, I think we're going to have some fun, and we're going to have some really special people on with us as we get into season two. Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. And I'm Corey, as a fellow Canadian, I'm chipping away at Mr. Kim Mitchell, who I know is a Sammy fan, to get his take and get him on the show at some point. So I'm working away on that.
Kim Mitchell is phenomenal. I saw him a couple of years ago for the first time. Still puts on a great live show. Love me some Kim Mitchell. I can't wait to have that happen on the Bogus Odor Show. That's going to be great.
And we thought it would be cool to get him, because I said, Kim, no one's going to force you to talk about guitar. We just want to hear your take on singing and vocals and Sammy, because I know he's a big Sammy fan, right? Who has opened for Van Hagar?
I know Mark's a big Kim Mitchell fan. You saw the video for Gopher Soda.
Yes, I totally saw that. That's all I'll say.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you very much, guys, for coming on the Bogus Odor Show. Get it wherever you get your podcast from. I'm a big fan of the show. You had some great ones coming up. CJ Chilvers was on there. You did an episode of Marching on Mars that I was a big fan of. You guys are absolutely phenomenal. Thank you for doing a show on Sammy Hagar. It was long overdue. I can't wait to get you on a live show with the guys from the DLR cast so we can finally battle it out and decide once and for all who was the better frontman for Van Halen. We'll decide that in January, I'm sure.
Ooh.
There can be only one, and time will tell in January whom that will be. Apologies to Gary. But anyway, Corey, where can the people find us when they want to check out the show? Where can they find you when they want to just shout you out?
Oh, they can find us at www.podcastwillrock.com. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook now, which Mark is handling for us, at Podcast Will Rock. And you can find us as part of the Deep Dive Podcast Network, which features such great shows as The Magician's Podcast with Scott, the Uriah Heep Podcast, Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side, Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul, Joe, and David at the In the Lap of the Pods Podcast, Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Mad Men, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, myself, John Mariano, and Scott Haskin at Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. John and I also do another show called Backtracks Theme Music, where we're talking everything music and movies. Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, Greg and John at So Far So Pod So What, talking everything Megadeth, Kevin at the Tom Petty Project, Quinn at Adding Volume for All, and Sav, Nick, John, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast.
Woo! All fun stuff, all great stuff. Get all of your rock and roll podcasting needs met right here at the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. Just to yell some whatever nonsense you want at me, go ahead. I'll probably take it and run with it, because that's usually what I use Twitter for, is to ramble about nonsense. It's fun and cathartic for me. Or you can just tune into the show, because you know I like to rant about nonsense too. Mostly it's about how much we just want to reiterate, we are not experts in Van Halen. We're not experts in rock music. We are just simply fans who enjoy a thing, and we enjoy talking about it. And for the most part, you all love talking about it with us, and we appreciate you. Take a shot, and that'll do it for us. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.